Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's hard to believe, but it's officially Predators game day here for the 2021 NHL season. They get things kicked off tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The NHL getting back underway last night. Lots of great games on the slate last night. We'll have Predators head coach John Hines join us at 7:30 to look ahead to all the action coming up both tonight and this season. Trey Wingo at 8 o'clock to talk all things NFL playoffs. And then at 9:30, our man Skillsy, Hal Gill, will join us to look ahead to the Preds game tonight as well. So a lot to get to today here on the show. And without further ado, let's bring the fellas on board here. Joe Rexroad, how we doing?
Great. Looking forward to seeing this team play tonight.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be awesome. Ryan Porth? A lot of NHL action last night.
There was
Did you catch any of it?
There was a lot of NHL action last night. I was a fan of some things that happened last night.
Yeah, me too.
So I was partially invested in almost every single game, and you know, I enjoyed some of the outcomes. So I'll leave it at that.
Good start to the NHL season.
Yeah, and now we have Preds opening night tonight here in Smashville. And all the action can be heard tonight right here on these airwaves.
That's right. Joe Rexroad, I learned two things last night that are just going to blow you away in the NHL. Number one, the Tampa Bay Lightning are very good. And number two, the Chicago Blackhawks suck. They are not good at all. And I know it's one game. They are terrible.
And Taves got hurt too, right?
Taves, so he's starting the season not playing. Like, he's got some sort of condition going on where he can't really catch his breath. It's kind of scary. And they're trying to get to the bottom of exactly what's going on with him. So no Jonathan Toews last night. You know, Kirby Dach, who's a really good young player for the Hawks, he broke his wrist in the World Junior Championship. So that's your top two centermen right there out. I mean, they weren't going to be very good anyway, but you lose those two. I mean, I feel bad for Patrick Kane out there. It was basically Patrick Kane skating around last night, and nobody else really even had a threat for the Hawks.
Okay, that's my bad. I knew that Taves had the thing. Did Kane get hurt last night? This is like me quickly glancing at something.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. All right. Then.
But you know what? Tampa Bay had the puck the whole game, so you never really could tell. They had the puck the whole time. It was unbelievable. Did not go well for Malcolm Subban last night. So.
Yeah, that's tough. What are the other outcomes that you were all giddy about there, Porth?
I was giddy about the Flyers -1.5. I was giddy about the Lightning -1.5. I was giddy about the Canadians +1.5. I was giddy about the Canucks +1.5.
So
and I was giddy about the Blues +1.5. Put them all on a parlay and boom!
Wow.
Nailed it!
That's a good start to the season, my friend. Well done.
It's a bit of a downer out in Denver, too, huh?
Yeah.
You know, one game, but you know, opening night, such expectations for that team. We'll see how they hold up to the expectations.
Yeah, Colorado begins the season in the NHL as the Stanley Cup favorite. So lots of pressure to live up to there. Nathan MacKinnon could never really get going last night, so we'll see. I'm sure that offense is going to break out as we go here. But some Preds news yesterday, Joe. The roster, the opening night roster was announced, and I don't think really many surprises on the roster. At the forwards, you got Forsberg and Sissons, Cunning, Trennan, Brad Richardson, Callie Yarncroke, Nick Cousins, Rocco Grimaldi, Arvidsson, Johansson, Duchesne, and Eric Halla. And then defensemen, pretty much exactly who we thought it would be. Yossi Ellis, Ekholm, Fabro, Benning, Borowiecki, and Tenorti. And then, of course, Saros and Rinne in goal. So no Ellie Tolvanen on the opening night roster. He did make the taxi squad, which, you know, a lot of Preds fans yesterday are just freaking out about this taxi squad and the opening night roster. And I've tried to kind of set people up for this all off season long over the last few weeks as we've known what's going to happen. because Predators fans have been so hung up on this youth movement. And, look, I get it. I mean, David Poile talked about that to begin the offseason, said this team was going to be different, was going to look younger. I mean, there's no question the team is different. It's not a whole lot younger when it gets down to it, when you look at it, at what's going on. They're younger in some parts, like, you know, Luke Cunningham coming in. But I think a lot of people are freaking out for no reason. Number one, I wouldn't read a whole lot into the opening night roster. With the taxi squad being set up the way that it is, you know, Elie Tolvanen's on the taxi squad. If they want him to play tonight, he could play tonight. I mean, that's the way the taxi squad is set up. So I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into that, number one. As we've learned already in the NHL, it's going to be fluid. It's going to be a situation that's probably changing on a week-by-week basis. I mean, the Dallas Stars have had 17 players test positive. So this is going to be a journey in the NHL. But I hear what Predators fans are saying about wanting to get younger. But my thing is, Joe, if you're a young player and you're on the taxi squad or you're competing for a spot, you got to force your way into the role. Like, getting younger just for the sake of getting younger doesn't accomplish anything. You've got to have younger players that can come in and force themselves into the conversation. And it's on those guys to do it as the season comes along here. We knew it was going to be difficult when training camp was as short as it was going to be. But it's not like Elie Tolvanen's opportunity for this season is just done yesterday because he didn't make the opening night roster.
That's true. But, I mean, look, like you said, Poile talked about it. We talked about it a lot. So the expectation for fans, I mean, it was there. You know, it was presented that way. And, look, I mean, I thought Tolvanen was going to – I mean, back then, you know, before we got into camp, I thought Tolvanen would probably be on this roster. We've talked about Tomasino, and I mean, I think his time is coming, but you know, I think with fans, when you kind of break down from last year's roster, I think you want something to look forward to. You know, you want the next, you know, rising star. You want the next standouts, preferably, you know, homegrown, as some of these guys who are mainstays now were a few years ago. And I can see, you know, fans being disappointed that Tolvanen, whether it's disappointed in the Predators or disappointed in him, that he's, you know, didn't do enough to be on the roster. To your point, I mean, he still could play quite a role this year because of how things are. But, I mean, I understand the disappointment. If they win, it's not going to matter. If they play well, that will quickly be forgotten. But it looked like a team that was begging for some young guys to step up and fill some roles.
And Mikhail Granlund, Lucas Spezza are non-roster players right now, so not on the active roster. They're going to have to go through quarantine. You know, Spezza traded for acquired on waivers the other day by the Predators, and Granlund's still working through some immigration problems, and he'll have to quarantine once he gets to Nashville. So they'll be non-roster players until they're quarantined and ready to join the fold. Yannick Weber, who joined the team on a PTO, just a tryout, did not make the team. He was released by the Predators. And, Joe, you brought up Philip Tomasino. Kind of a different situation for him this year. Typically, with his age being 19, he's either making the team out of camp or he's going back to the Ontario Hockey League, and there's not much wiggle room. Well, the Ontario Hockey League's not playing right now, so this year, he is allowed to go play in the American Hockey League. And, of course, Milwaukee not happening this year for the Predators, but Chicago is, and Philip Tomasino assigned to Chicago to begin the season. So maybe the perfect storm for Tomasino to begin the season. Let's see what he looks like at the American League level, and if that looks good, maybe you consider bringing him up to the taxi squad or maybe even the active roster after that.
Yeah, I mean, Tomasino, I mean, his trajectory is pretty clear at this point, you know. Now, obviously, things change, but, like, that's a guy, and I'm sure, again, we talked about it. Is he good enough right now? But it shouldn't surprise anyone that he's not quite ready, but he's on the path. You know, Tolvanen is, I don't know. I mean, we talked about him a lot yesterday. I mean, he's still only 21, you know, and so I hesitate to get into the washed up talk with a 21-year-old. But also, how far away is he from, like, how much more improving can he do? You know, how far away is he from his best self? I don't know, but I suspect we're going to see him some this year.
Yeah, and you look at just the taxi squad. It's completed by Ellie Tolvanen, and Cole Smith is on there. Connor Ingram, which they had to have. You have to have three goalies in your organization. So Connor Ingram on the taxi squad. Alex Carrier on defense. And then Matthew Olivier as well, who really impressed during training camp. He's kind of a guy that has more of a physical element to his game. He can skate well. Not a guy that you rely on for a ton of offense, but more grit maybe down the pipe. It's interesting to see the way that they've handled this taxi squad. I mean, you've got your skill guy in Tolvanen, so if somebody in the top six goes down, you can slide Tolvanen in there, Olivier in your bottom six to add more of that grit and sandpaper, and then Alex Carrier, kind of a different look on defense. You've got your third pair right now with Benning and Borowiecki, who I think bring a little bit more of that heaviness, that a little bit more of that physicality to it, you know, and obviously Tenorti in there as well, making the opening night roster that brings physicality as well. Carrier, not that type of player, more of the puck-moving defenseman. So it's interesting to look at how they've kind of positioned this taxi squad to begin the season with different guys able to slide in different roles if called upon.
Yeah, another guy I was kind of curious on was Rem Pitlick.
Yeah.
You know, that was another guy I thought maybe, you know, could end up on that taxi squad. And the Ingram thing is interesting. You know, how much is this going to, I guess, cost him work this year?
Yeah.
Because that's what I wondered. Is he going to be the guy, or would it be maybe someone else and then try to – I mean, I imagine they're still going to try to break him away and get him some work in Chicago.
That would be my guess. I mean, you don't want him just sitting there all season. Like, it's great to have him because if something happens to one of your goalies, like, you got him and you're able to put him in there and he can play. And I think they'd feel okay about Ingram playing at the NHL level, but you also don't want him to just sit there for a month and not get any game action whatsoever.
And, of course, you know, Ingram is a guy who, you know, down the road, he may be the one who is coming up and challenging Saros. You know, I mean, there's a lot of hope for what he could turn into.
So when we come back, now that we are here, we have arrived at Predators game day for the 2021 season. What are our expectations for this team? We'll discuss that when we come back. Also get into our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
We realize the perception that has been placed upon us and that more or less we've earned. And it's not a perception I think any team would want, but especially a team that's been known to be a hardworking group. We needed to change our ways. And I think this camp was a bit of a grind and a bit of a needed a mentality change. And I think with doing that, we'll be better for it. And it may not work every night, but we may not win every night, but we expect the effort to be there. And this year, I'm hoping it is that way.
That was Predators associate captain Ryan Ellis yesterday. As training camp has officially come to a close, the season gets underway tonight for the Predators against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, a lot of interesting comments by Ryan Ellis yesterday. We'll get to some of those coming up in the next segment. But he mentioned the mentality change and being well aware of what the outside expectations are and what the outside perception is of this group heading into the season. And we talked about it yesterday, Joe. I mean, as you look through the predictions, as you look through the expectations from the pundits, whether it's on NHL.com or The Athletic, wherever really you want to find them, there's not a lot of expectations for this Predators team. You've got some team or some people picking them to make the playoffs. A lot aren't picking them to make the playoffs. They're right on the bubble in most of these mock predictions that we see to begin this season. And that is a big time change from what we've seen over the course of the last 3 or 4 years with this group. So as you go into camp here, as you go into the season here, looking at this Predators team, Joe Rexroad, what are your expectations for the Nashville Predators heading into this season?
Well, to make the playoffs. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you want to just talk about bottom line results, to make the playoffs, to be in the top four in this newfangled division and get in and see what happens. That, you know, and that can change as the year goes on. If they play better and you start thinking maybe they could actually make some noise. I mean, obviously, that's the hope. But I mean, to me, I think just realistically, get in. I think it's still a big disappointment if you don't get in. And I'm not saying if you get in and you're quickly out, then it's some season you celebrate. But I mean, I think that's the baseline expectation. Beyond that, you know, I think it's basically back up all the talk with a tougher, grittier, more responsible team, a more stable team, you know, a team that can fight back, team that can hold leads, a team that has more apparent mental fortitude, because I think last year's team clearly just had issues with a lot of the intangibles, which was just weird to see because it's a lot of the same guys who not long before did not have those issues. But I think the way they play on a nightly basis is the secondary expectation, but it's important too, to see a team that just looks different.
I would agree. And, you know, as far as the bottom line is concerned, I came out yesterday with my predictions, and I've got the Predators in fourth this year in the Central Division, which is in the playoffs. That's the top four from each division make the playoffs. The first two rounds of the playoffs are interdivisional there, and then you have the four quote-unquote division winners that make the semifinals, and you determine your Stanley Cup final from there. So it's a much different setup this year in the playoffs. You're not going to necessarily have – you know, a Western Conference team and an Eastern Conference team. The conferences don't really exist at this point in the playoffs this year, so it's a much different setup. But I've got the Predators in fourth in this division. I think they're going to be right on the bubble all season long. And as Ryan Ellis was talking about, I mean, that's the perception that this team has. That's the perception, quite frankly, in some instances that they've earned over the course of the last few years. And look, there's some major question marks about this group. Can the top line that we spend so much time talking about, can they get back up to the level that we know they can play at? If they can, you're going to give this team a chance. I mean, this team is going to have a chance to be pretty good. Can Matt Duchene respond in his second year? We talked to him yesterday here on the show. Didn't go well for him in the first year. A lot of things were happening. Can he play better? Can he respond better in his second year and you know, bring some of his teammates along with him on that second line? That's going to be a huge question. How do you hold up in goal this year? I mean, this is a gigantic year for UC Soros. And I think we've just naturally assumed that UC Soros is going to be the guy that eventually takes over long-term for Pekka. And maybe he is. But if I'm UC Soros and I'm looking around, you've got Connor Ingram right behind you. You just drafted Askarov in the first round of the draft this year and is supposed to be a generational type of player at goaltender. If I'm UC Soros, you have to recognize that I think this year has a lot of pressure for you, because you've got a couple of guys down the pipe right now that are playing really well, that have a lot of promise to them, and that have a lot of hype. So I think this is a gigantic season for UC Soros. I'm interested to see how he responds that way. But like you said, Joe, a lot of this is going to be determined by how much toughness do you really have. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to be in camp and talk about, all right, I can sense a mentality change. I can sense that this group is going to be different from that aspect, and you're going to get this hardworking team every night that used to be the identity that this Predators team clung to, a lot of times out of necessity because the talent didn't match up to some other teams around the league. Is that all talk, or is that actually transpiring and sustainable once the season begins? If it is, even though this team is not as talented, in my opinion, as it has been the past couple of years, maybe it's a net gain. Maybe you're feeling pretty good about yourself at the end of the season. If it's not, this is going to be tough for this group.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's, and you know, I have no doubt that, you know, that these guys have taken this on seriously. And I have no doubt that, as David Poile had – look, David Poile either was going to have to do some massive move and really shake things up, and he doesn't have the contract situation to make that very amenable, or he's going to have to nibble around the edges and still try to kind of change the feel of the team while keeping most of the core group together. But the thing is, again, it's not like this is always – with all these guys, this has been a, like a quote unquote white collar team all these years, you know?
Yeah.
That's not what they were when they got to the Cup final. You know, that's not really, to me, that's not what they were when they won the President's Trophy the next year. I mean, they had a nice balance of, they had skill and talent, but they still could grind you and it could be a tough team, tough minded team. You know, they have not had as much physicality as needed in the lineup, I think. And so that's a big thing here. Do they have enough now? That's going to be interesting to see. But the intangible things there, the just basically how do they react to certain situations? I mean, how do we know? We have no idea. You can talk about it in camp, and John Hines certainly has focused on it, but that's just one of those things we're just going to have to find out once these games get going. And I also think, too, I mean, this schedule, this season, you know, I think it's just going to be way chippier overall, because all these teams are going to be sick of the same faces, yeah, night after night after night, and back to back after back to back. I mean, how are you not going to be more annoyed with your opponent this year, you know, than you are on average when you kind of bounce around the whole league?
My expectation for this team is, like Joe said, to make the playoffs. I would say my prediction is that they are going to finish third in this division.
Okay.
I think Tampa, I don't know how much they really proved last night against Chicago, because Chicago's going to be competing for the number one overall pick.
Right, but we know how good Tampa
is.
Yes,
exactly. They're still loaded, even though they lost a couple pieces, and Kucherov is out for the entire regular season. But, you know, you would expect Tampa to be up there, probably Carolina to be up there. I think Nashville's going to be right there in the mix. I think it's going to be very tight all season long. I don't think a lot of teams are going to separate themselves with the way this schedule is set up. But I think the Preds finished third. I think the changes that they made are going to benefit them, at least in the short term, especially for the goaltenders that need better play in front of them. UC Saros and Pecorine were left out to dry a lot in the last couple seasons with some poor team defensive play in front of them. And I think them being harder to play against, more sound defensively as a five-person unit on the ice, I think is going to benefit this team.
And I think that's, to your point, that's got to be a part of the identity with this group, is defending. I mean, committing to defend. I think we know when they're healthy what you're going to get for the most part out of Yossi and Ellis. Like last year, this team had a lot of problems. That pairing was not one of them. I mean, that pairing was outstanding last year. If you match up their numbers and do a deep dive into some of the analytics, that's probably the best defense pairing they've ever had. And that's saying something when you've had Shea Weber and Ryan Suter and Matthias Ekholm and PK Subban. I mean, the level those two were on together last year was pretty incredible. I agree. I do think, especially, you know, with Ekholm and Fabbro, a lot of times, you know, you look at Ekholm's stats last year, they're not great, but you're bringing a kid along. I mean, you've got a rookie alongside you. I would expect those two to take a pretty big jump this year. That would be, if you get to the end of the season and there's not a big jump with Ekholm and Fabbro together as a pair, I think that's a pretty big disappointment. Like, I think we need to see the next step from Fabbro this year. Quite frankly, I thought at times last year, maybe playing in a role too high. You know, it's his first year in the league. He's 21 years old. Probably would have been better suited on the third pair last year, but out of necessity, you just couldn't do that with this team. I think the tools are there, and I talked to Ryan Ellis a little bit about it yesterday. He said the sky's the limit for him. He's put in the work. I would expect that to pay off this year, and if it doesn't, that to me would be very disappointing.
Well, and you bring up defensemen, which is valid when talking about defense, but I'm almost talking as much about the
sure,
defensive-minded aspect, yeah, from the forwards, because they gave up Craig Smith, Kyle Turris, Austin Watson. I would say all three of those individuals were liabilities at times, some more than others, in the defensive zone, and they've replaced them with guys that you can trust to win battles, the doing the little things that can really add up for your team, like Nick Cousins, Luke Cunningham, Brad Richardson. Think some of these players are, Eric Halla, are going to make a difference in those little areas. And if that happens, I think the payoff is maybe they win the 3-2 game instead of lose the 3-2 game.
And then I still have the question of, do they have enough firepower, you know, over, yep, over a long haul? And, you know, we have the poll question on the forward. I mean, to me, just in my opinion, I mean, one guy in particular stands out as someone who we know how good he is. And again, he showed it in the bubble. I mean, Johansson to me is the guy. Like if Forsberg starts out the season, you know, on a cold streak, that happens with him. He's streaky. Like, to me, you know, obviously you want the overall production from him in the end. I'm a little worried about Arvidsson. He's banged up again. I know he's supposed to play tonight, but I mean, I think that's the concern with Arvidsson is the guy gets hurt a lot,
yeah,
and it's more and more as we go. But Johansson, there's no, I mean, Johansson, it's how are you approaching it, you know? I mean, Forsberg can go through stretches of not scoring and he's still playing his butt off. Like, Johansson has got to get after it. And when he does, I just think the team is different. Certainly that line is lethal. And that's what I'm looking for from the start. Like, the bubble Ryan Johansson has got to be the every night Ryan Johansson. He makes $8 million, and that's just got to be how it is. And if that's the case, I feel instantly better about this team.
Well, I think that's a great point, and you brought up the poll question. Today's poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter: which of the following Preds forwards do you expect to bounce back the most this season? And it's the four we always talk about: Arvidsson, Duchesne, Forsberg, and Ryan Johansson. Right now, very early in the voting, 78 votes in, 29% going with Matt Duchesne, 27% going with Forsberg, 26% going with Victor Arvidsson, and 18% going with Ryan Johansson. And look,
come on, people.
I know that, look, the fan base is down on Ryan Johansson. It is what it is, and it's been that way for the last year. But some of that's on him. I mean, this to me is, it's between the ears with Ryan Johansson. You've got to get that effort out there every night. And I agree with you, Joe. Like, if you're having to pick one, if you're a Preds fan that you want to have a bounce back season, to me it's Johansson. Because if Johansson bounces back, that's probably pretty good news for Forsberg and Arvidsson as well. So I agree. I mean, you've got to see that from the jump. I think he knows that. Now, it's 56 games. You're never going to see a guy in an 82-game, 56-game season, regardless of what number it is, just be awesome every single night. It's just not going to happen unless you're Connor McDavid or somebody like that. So I get that. But the effort's got to be there. The intensity level has got to be there. And if that happens with Johansson, I think he's got a chance to have a pretty good season. But it's on him at this point to prove that he can do that. And speaking of Matt Duchesne in that poll question, we had him on the show yesterday for his first weekly visit that he'll have throughout the season with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And he had some interesting comments, maybe about the mentality of this team heading into the season. We'll discuss those and react to them when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Predators getting underway tonight at 7 o'clock against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Pregame at 6 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to get things rolling. We'll have Predators head coach John Hines join us at 7:30 this morning, so looking forward to that conversation with him. And we had a conversation yesterday here on the show with Predators forward Matt Duchesne, who will join us weekly here on Robbie and Rex Road. And he had some interesting comments just maybe about where this team is mentally now, where they have been in the past, and the challenge of living up to the run that they had in 2017. Here's what Matt Duchesne had to say.
I'm definitely seeing in practice the intensity level of guys is really high, and I think just our competitiveness has gone up. I think there was some baggage, you know, obviously I've only been here a year, but I think there was some baggage from, you know, maybe that run in 17 they had here, where it's like, okay, you know, you're trying to live up to that again, and you focus too much on the result rather than the process. And I think, you know, it's human nature to be like, okay, I want to get back to where I was. I want to be that. But then, you know, it's pretty easy to forget how you got there and what it takes. So, I think last year was a bit of a reset year, a little bit of a transition, obviously a coaching change. You know, Laviolette did an amazing job with this team, and sometimes things just run their course, and you need a new voice and a little bit new ideas and things like that. So I think the coaching staff coming in has done a great job kind of revamping things and finding some areas we need to be better. And Yeah, I mean, it's going to be it's constant. It's you never stop. There's no team that stops getting better, and it's kind of one of those things. You're either getting better or you're getting worse, and so that's the choice we have to make every day. And I've seen that from guys, and you know, our core group of guys is really led by example and really pushed, and it's been great to see.
So, Joe, I thought those were some interesting comments by Matt Duchene, and that brings up kind of an interesting, I guess, sports psychology viewpoint of you have some success in 17. A lot of this core that was there at that time is still here on this team. And the phrase that Duchene used there of maybe focusing on the results rather than on the process of how you got there was interesting. And obviously Duchene wasn't here in 17 and he wasn't a part of that group. But it is kind of interesting that he said that, having some baggage from 17. What did you make of those comments, Joe? And do you think that's been a factor at all in how they've been trending in the wrong direction the last couple of years?
Well, between those comments and, you know, breaking the news on the show that he broke his jaw and telling us about being a dad, my one takeaway is I have high, high expectations for Matt Duchene every week.
That is correct.
On the show. But I thought those were really, really insightful comments. And you know, it's funny, fancying myself a writer here. I mean, like, why didn't I think of that? That's a great way to put it, you know. The baggage from that run. You don't think about a run giving you baggage, but that's kind of what it is. You know, you're sort of saddled by this, okay, get back there. You've now raised the bar. Nothing else is good. You either get back to that or nothing's good. And I think that's how you come to thinking results over process. And I think that's, I mean, think about last year's team. It looked like a team that was focused too much on the results and not the process.
Yeah.
Because it's such coach speak or player speak or sports speak to, you know, trust the process, you know, just every day 1% better, all that stuff. But the thing is that it's actually true. I mean, if you have to do A, B, and C to get to D, and I think it's very easy to say, okay, I'm at A, but how do we get to D, you know, without focus on the B and C. So I thought that was really insightful and interesting that the new guy comes in and kind of sees that. Again, now he was part of the team last year too. So, I mean, you know, you want more from him.
Sure.
And you want him to be better. And so it's not like he had that baggage. So, I mean, it doesn't explain everything, but I thought it was a really good way to put it. And I think if everyone looks at it that way, then I think that's where you have to start to change it and to get back to, again, the grittier, grindier, tougher team to play against.
Yeah, and to me, that goes into, you know, the comments there from Duchene kind of go into, I think, the moves that David Poile made this offseason and the way that he's tried to shape this team. And obviously, you know, look, I mean, let's be honest, like bringing in Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson and Luke Kunin in exchange for Nick Bonino, those are not moves that league-wide are going to get people excited. Like, there's nothing really flashy about those guys. But they do work, and they do get under your skin, and they are difficult to play against, and they are very process-oriented. And, you know, I've said this before, and I fully believe that this is the case. I think the moves made by Poile were not just to bring those guys in here so they could bring that part of the game to the ice, but I think it's also to light a fire under your star players. That, you know, like David Poile, he knows this. I mean, he's not unrealistic about it. He knows if this team is going to be good and if they're going to compete for a Stanley Cup, it's really going to come down to those four guys offensively. I think you feel good about your defense. Obviously, the health and everything that goes into that is of chief concern this year. But if this team is going to have a chance to make a run in the playoffs, a lot of it's going to come down to Johansson and Arvidsson and Duchene and Forsberg. And I think just as much as the moves were made by Poile to bring guys in that have that grit and to add that element to the lineup, I think part of the reason he brought them in too was to see if those guys can light a fire under some of your stars. And if they can do that, I think you got a chance to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, but see now, and I've heard this from fans and I can't argue at all. It's like, okay, so we're trying to get grittier and stuff, and then you move Bonino. I mean, Bonino was the guy who was carrying that torch, you know? I mean, that. So I understand that. It's like, okay, so this is a guy, a proven guy, who brought that. Now, obviously, it wasn't enough to, you know, to bring it for the whole team. He didn't light that fire under those guys. But now you're saying, and obviously that's a contractual reality and everything of this situation. But I mean, I understand the fan skepticism about this team right now.
I almost feel like the Benito move, though, Joe, was to parlay that asset into something more long term. With Benino going into the last year of his deal, he has a fairly big number, and you trade him to get someone like Luke Cunningham, who is going to be here longer. He's younger. That's just kind of how I viewed that move.
No, I understand that. That's what I meant by contractual reality. I mean, that I understand the move, but it's still, you know, you're saying, hey, you know, this roster is going to get grittier and everything. And it's like, well, that guy is the one guy we knew we could count on. You know,
sure.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, you have to think longer term. You've got to get younger, even if it's not this big youth movement that we talked about earlier in the show, that's not happening yet. Any kind of younger in this lineup is something you have to look at if you're David Poile.
Ryan Ellis made some very interesting comments yesterday after practice was over, kind of looking ahead to this season and looking back at the camp and how different it was this year. And I thought there was a particular comment that stood out. Here's what Ryan Ellis had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I think we realized what the perception of us from the outside, as well as kind of what we feel we've struggled with in the past. And a lot of that is work ethic. But this camp was every drill, every practice was more about a compete and work ethic. And no one backed down from the challenge. Everyone kind of bought into each day. And in years past, there might have been some, you know, complaining like, oh, it was hard or this or that. And there was none of that. It was a complete buy-in from everyone around. And like I said, the camp I thought was the best we could do with the time we had. And it's nice to feel that way leaving a camp.
So you hear those words from Ryan Ellis, Joe, and he talks about everyone buying in to this camp and how in the past there may have been some complaining in training camp, and Predators fans kind of viewed that yesterday as maybe Ryan Ellis taking some shots at former teammates. I don't know whether or not that's what he was intending to do there, but I did find those comments very interesting about maybe some complaining going on in the past and about how this year that has apparently not been the case.
Now, of course, if you go back to like whatever camp that was, like no one was saying that, you know, I was like, oh yeah, everybody's sure. Compete level. And you know, it's an interesting, the fact that he said complaining and also the fact that he used the term work ethic, you know, I mean, I'm trying to imagine Peter Laviolette standing for low work ethic / people complaining about, you know, it's, like, it feels a little bit like just this everyone, like, there's always the urge to, like, now is better than the past. You know, we were this and now we're this. But hey, I mean, he brought it up. So maybe it was a big issue and we just didn't know.
I like a lot of the things that I'm hearing out of the players. We've heard some of these things before.
Yeah.
So I think early in this season, early on, we're going to figure out whether there's something different about this team or not.
Agreed. Yeah, look, that's got to start tonight. I mean, this is not a season where you just ease into things. I mean, this is a 56-game sprint. I mean, you know, Nick Cousins was on Smashville Live last night and basically said that. I mean, this is a 56-game sprint. You really don't have time to screw around this season and find your footing for 3 weeks. So I'm very interested to see how this team responds right from the jump. And I agree. I mean, we have heard some of this before from the players. It's on them to go out and prove that it's different. And that starts tonight against Columbus. So we'll continue to talk about the Predators all show long here. A lot to get to. John Hines will join us at 7:30. Hal Gill joins us at 9:30 as well. So a lot still to come on the Nashville Predators. But when we come back, another loss yesterday for the Tennessee Volunteers in the transfer portal. And this one may have been the worst of them all. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rexroad, yesterday we talked about Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee Volunteers and the state of this program right now and how confusing it all is. Kevin Steele is in the program now. Was Jeremy Pruitt a part of that? Did he hire him? Did the university hire him? Just a whole lot of things going on right now with Tennessee. And one of the consistent themes over the past few weeks has been the transfer portal for Tennessee. They've lost a lot of good players. You know, Brandon Johnson in the portal. You know, Jarrett Garantano, JT Shrout in the portal as well. Ty Chandler transferring to North Carolina. I mean, the list goes on and on for Tennessee with some of the losses that they've had. But I think yesterday was by far the biggest loss that they've had. And I was scrolling around on Twitter, David Ubbin coming out yesterday and saying that Tennessee offensive lineman Wanye Morris has entered the transfer portal. A sophomore last year, a five-star recruit coming in on an offensive line that had a lot of talent. Wanye Morris, I think, has a chance to become an NFL player. Joe, I think this is by far the biggest loss Tennessee has had in the transfer portal so far. Would you agree or disagree?
Oh, I definitely would agree. And, you know, you look at, obviously, Cade Mays coming back, which is a big deal. You know, you know obviously, you lose Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy. But with Morris, you know, and of course, Darnell Wright, I mean, you still have some really good pieces for a good offensive line. And I saw some reaction yesterday, like, oh, well, he can go, you know, give up a sack somewhere else. And, you know, he had his struggles. But there's no question about this guy's talent. I mean, this is a guy who was in his second year out of high school, you know. I mean, most offensive linemen get that redshirt year. He didn't get it. He was thrown right in, and he had his ups and downs this season, but I thought, you know, he was one of those guys who could take a big step and be just a standout player for this team next year. And then probably, well, who knows? I mean, we'll see with him, but I mean, possibly that could have been his last year and then on to the NFL draft. I think he has that kind of talent. I don't know if it all would have come together for him, and then we'll see if it comes together for him wherever he goes, but that's a big loss. And it's so Sean Schamberger gets in the portal,
yeah,
and then the Vols sign Kevin Steele. And, you know, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt had some involvement in that, you know, well, regardless of how it turns out. But then Schamberger, excuse me, gets back out of the portal. So you're kind of like, okay, so maybe this is the sort of the moment where it's like, okay, Pruitt's going to be back, and now you'll stop seeing the exodus. And then Wanye Morris goes. So yeah, it's like, okay, put me right back on square one where I'm totally confused.
I wonder how much the situation going on right now with Pruitt and the coaching freeze has to do with this. Because remember, I mean, Tennessee hasn't had an offensive line coach in like 2 weeks. Will Friend is gone. He's not a part of the program anymore. Obviously, they have not been able to bring anybody else in to fill that role with everything going on right now with Pruitt and his staff. And I wondered if Wanye Morris just looked around and said, all right, this program is going nowhere. I mean, there's a lot of negative energy around Tennessee football right now. I have no clue who's going to be my offensive line coach next year. And he just decided to jump ship before it got even worse. But I do wonder how much this investigation played into Wanye Morris deciding to enter the portal.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, and having no position coach is not a good thing. But then I'm looking at, you know, a quarterback who could have gone to a lot of places coming in, not knowing who his head coach is going to be.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, if you're Hendon Hooker, for example, even if you think Pruitt's coming back, you have to be open to the idea that Jim Chaney may not be coming back. So are you signing up to play for Jim Chaney, or, you know, yeah, open like, you know, that they're going to replace? I mean, any sort of movement out right now makes more sense to me than movement in. But I did think just the Schamberger thing gave me that, you know, at that moment, I'm like, okay, maybe now basically internally it's like, guys, gotten through it. Jeremy is allowed to make a hire here. So looks like he's going to survive the, you know, the investigation. And then Morris, hey, maybe Morris left because of that. I mean, for all we know, you know, maybe Morris was counting on a change. I mean, who knows? But to your point there, it's not great when you have the really the foundation of being competitive in the SEC is the line of scrimmage. It's where the SEC is most different from every other league. You have by far the most pros on both sides of the ball in the trenches, and you don't have a coach for either of those positions right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a good look. And some Tennessee fans pointed out yesterday after the announcement was made that Wanya Morris was entering the transfer portal that doesn't necessarily mean that he's leaving. And then David Ubben comes out yesterday and says, quote, Tennessee indicated it's canceling Wanya Morris's financial aid due to entering the portal. According to the data in the portal, that's not a good sign of the odds for Morris returning to Tennessee. So I would say if you're a Tennessee fan and you're of the hope that maybe Wanya Morris is just kind of checking things out and then he'll be back, I don't think that's going to happen. He's gone.
Yeah, and so, you know, this offensive line that to me still would have been, I understand that it wasn't this great offensive line this year like it was hyped, you know, and the way it played early in the year. Certainly it had its issues, its ups and downs, but that still was looking like a potential strength for next year. And that's just a big, big loss for that offense. Whoever's coaching it, whoever's at quarterback, you know, that's a big piece. That's a guy who, and one of what, 2 5-stars that Pruitt has brought in, I believe.
Yeah.
So one of them's gone now.
Yeah, and the immediate reaction I had yesterday, Joe, outside of, you know, obviously just the loss of Wanya Morris and the potential that I think he has to be a really good player, is if you're Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee right now, like, what are you selling in recruiting? I mean, that's kind of the next thing I look at is, regardless of how this investigation turns out, like, if Jeremy Pruitt's still here, what are you selling right now to your next recruiting class? Because, I mean, you just went 3-7. You got an investigation around your program. People are leaving left and right in the transfer portal, which, when you lose players like Wanya Morris, obviously – that's going to make it more difficult to compete next year and more difficult to win, like you said, with the SEC being largely a league decided on the line of scrimmage and how tough you are, how deep you are, how talented you are on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage. I just look at recruiting right now for Tennessee, and I know it's Tennessee, and sometimes that recruits itself, just given the history there and given how, you know, the resources that you have. But I just think it's going to be really tough for this staff to continue to recruit at a high level. And we've already talked about it. I mean, they have been recruiting at a high level, and you feel good about, you know, 11th nationally or 14th nationally, 15th nationally. And then you turn around and look and you're 6th or 7th in the SEC. That's just the reality of this league. But this is just getting harder and harder, I think, for Jeremy Pruitt to compete on that level based on the negativity right now around the program. And that was my first reaction yesterday when Wanya Morris and that news came out.
Yeah, well, I mean, coaches lie to recruits all the time. And so, you know, whether Jeremy Pruitt believes it or not, one thing you say is, hey, listen, this is no big deal. Media making a big deal out of this. This is just compliance stuff. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Because, I mean, that's got to be the first question, right? If you're a prospect looking at Tennessee right now. Now, it was interesting, and you mentioned David Ubben, you know, my colleague at The Athletic, he had an interesting piece around signing day with a lot of these guys saying, yeah, I'm not sure about Pruitt, but I still love Tennessee and I'm going to Tennessee.
Right.
You know, which again, it kind of speaks to like Hendon Hooker too. So, I mean, you have guys like that, but I feel like for the most part, I mean, over a lot of years of being on a college beat, I would say 2/3, 3/4 of recruits, if they were listing factors, they would list the coach as the main factor why they pick a program. You know, now, like you said, Tennessee has a lot to offer. But I to your point, overall, like, it's not sustainable. You aren't going to recruit well. This has to be resolved as quickly as possible and assurances that you are coming back. And even then, it's a harder sell job right now because everybody knows that you're still on a massively hot seat next year, but that's better than now. I mean, I don't know how you possibly bring in any players right now, given this situation.
This place just continues to be a soap opera, Joe Rexroad. It's unbelievable.
It really is. And I mean, I think you said Trey said he thought there might be something today. I mean, we can't get through the end of this week without anything.
No. Yeah, I mean,
there's got to be something today or tomorrow.
There's got to be. I mean, there always is. So why would we expect anything different at this point? When we come back, we'll switch gears and get into the Titans. Arthur Smith, we know about the interviews that he's had. He had a second one yesterday with an NFL team, and it looks like he may be right on the doorstep of becoming an NFL head coach. Is it the right move for him? And what do the Titans do if it happens? We'll discuss that when we come back. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel and football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend, and it's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional round this weekend, and you can combine the money line, the over-under, player props, all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a same-game parlay bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $25 back on your bet if you don't win. The playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot, and it's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. It's easy to use. You've got fast withdrawals. The odds boost and specials are something to behold every day, and they've got a range of betting options. So if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, at sign-up. That's promo code ROB at sign-up. And if you're already a customer, then you're all set. Just go check out the same-game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.